Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is going to be your best friend. When you're going through the process of buying a home, when you're going through the process of selling a home, you need a person and advisor that you can trust. And that's exactly how Jennifer Carson and her team, that's how they operate. They are here to help you make the best decision for you, get you the most information, make the connections. That's what they do every single day. They're going to help you make the most money for your home. They're going to help you find the home of your dreams. But you got to reach out first. Sold at LiveLoveMemphis.com.
One of the reasons I didn't call, 901-625-5200, again, 625-5200 earlier than I did back in 2018, was because I thought it was going to cost me thousands and thousands just to be able to get my home on the market, thousands that I did not have. And once I finally called Jennifer, I'm glad I finally did. It was a blessing because she said, "No, fool, you weren't going to have to do all that. In fact, you spend a lot less doing it with me. Because I've got everybody you need to call to get this thing going, and I'm going to get you a lot more for that home than you think." And that's what happened. Then she helped us find our dream home. She's still doing it to this day. She's done it in every market. Most money for the home you currently have, or help you find your dream home. Both on the selling and the buying side, she's done it all. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. And every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. We have an NBA champion. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder. They dispatch the Indiana Pacers after a great series that had some classic games in there. 103-91, your final. Listen, it was just a different game after Tyrese Haliburton went down. Benedict Mathurin got you 24-13, though.
Instant offense.
13 rebounds.
Yeah.
That man rebounded better than Jaren.
Last night.
That's crazy.
Because he doesn't typically do that.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
But listen.
He left it out there for though, didn't he? Mathurin left it all out there.
I mean, I don't know what his deal is. I mean, but he's made himself some money, it feels like, in these finals. Like, just with, I mean, I don't know if it was a game two. I don't remember, whatever. Game three. I don't remember which game it was where, you know, he went off. He's had a couple of really nice games.
Man, averages 5.3 rebounds. About Jaren's line there.
See?
No.
He and Jaren going bar for bar right now. Board for board.
I think one more year left on his deal, making $9.1 million, and then he's getting paid.
Yeah. No, he's definitely going to get paid by, I don't know if it's Indiana, I don't know if it's somebody else, right. But I mean, he was, you know, I want to say he started the second half after Haliburton went down.
Seems right.
So there definitely was a lot of trust with him. In that game last night. Regardless, OKC gets it done without Haliburton. You give Indiana credit for fighting. I mean, the fact that it was a 12-point game, I mean, that's nuts without Haliburton. They definitely competed. But it was too much in the end, too big, too strong, too fast, and too much SGA for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 29-12-5, just another day at the office for this man. Finals MVP, regular season MVP, scoring title. Would you say one of only four players to do that?
Yes.
Shaq, Kareem.
Michael Jordan four times. Four to have done it multiple times. He was the GOAT.
That's right.
There's no LeBron on this list.
That is pretty amazing to have done all of that.
Yes. Triple crown.
Four times. So, OKC wins. And, the question is, you know, you celebrate this. I saw some reports saying that it was the most tempered locker room they've ever seen for a champion.
A sign.
Yeah.
They expect more.
They do. They are not done after this one.
Did you stay up and watch it?
I did. Oh, the celebration?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
You don't want to see any of that fakeness.
No. I mean, I respect them. I salute them, but I didn't need to see that. Because they didn't beat Haliburton, it felt halfway like, I mean, again, they're getting the trophy, they're getting the rings, like they'll get, but you didn't even beat Haliburton, man. You beat T.J. McConnell. You know, come on, dog.
Jalen was crying, man, because he had to come back from getting dunked on by Siakam in six. Remember when he almost got broken in half,
angular.
Yeah,
like he was like perpendicular to the court, bro.
They bounced back from that.
They like,
and you saw he was crying last night.
Yeah, I think because he was a minus 40 in that previous game. He's like, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, Pascal.
Could have been over, exactly.
You saw the you know, the prayer that Pascal was doing before game six, the Undertaker.
That apparently he didn't get a chance to do that last night.
He didn't. It was.
Can't summon it in OKC.
I mean,
it
again,
was a little bit scary.
It was.
He says he doesn't know what he's doing.
He might be possessed. He might need an exorcism.
He's calling on something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and again, it's.
Clearly.
Weird things happen at New Mexico, that program. That's where he came from. So I don't rule it out. But yeah, too much Oklahoma City. And yeah, the question is just, where does it go from here? You know, everybody's under contract. Everybody's young. They have Topic that didn't play last year, lottery pick. They have multiple picks this year, 14 and 25. They could consolidate those. They have picks move in the future. They just have everything, right? So, yep. And then, you know, you got guys like Aaron Wiggins. You got guys like A.J. Mitchell, who's, you know, I hear really good things about in terms of his scoring ability there. So, bro, they're going to be a problem for decades and decades and decades to come. Generations and generations. 40 years from now, we're going to be having a deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Presti going to still be GM.
Yep, and we're still going to be waiting on that lease.
No.
When's that coming, by the way?
By end of summer, we said it. In summer, what are we? Is it?
It's, we're getting there.
22nd, June 22nd, first day of summer officially.
Okay,
we
so we're
officially summer now.
On the clock.
Summer, you know, wet waves and leases.
Yes. I don't know.
Vacation
like,
time and leases.
I mean, I'll save my comments. It's too soon, but okay. We're waiting on those. We're waiting.
Just hit June.
Yes, I know. It's like, but it feels like we've been talking about it, going back and forth.
Right.
You know, and that's why you know I'm ready for it. But anyway, we'll address the lease on a different day. This is about the champs, OKC. One of the most everybody loves this team. Such personality that they have on this group. That you know these jokesters. No, there's no personality. They're one of the most boring teams ever.
Mm-hmm.
But they win. They win. They're robotic. They're like a factory, man. And they the only thing they produce out of this factory is dubs. And it's not sexy, and it's not necessarily fun to watch. I mean, it's just kind of like they beat you into submission. They turn you over. They get out and run, and they just take advantage of your mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they do, and they do it better than anybody. So
respect.
Yeah. I think for Indiana, this feels like, to me, Memphis losing the title game in 08. Like, you're not coming back.
Mm.
It would take a lot. Because you already got the Halliburton situation. He's going to miss next year. I mean, it's June, bro.
Most of it.
It's June. So even if he had the most aggressive rehab, you think he's probably not even getting back to the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what about Nesmith becoming superstar?
I mean, I think
he's not going to go that far.
I think he's like he's maxing out right now, bro.
Is he?
I think so. I mean, I think he had a run of a lifetime in this playoff.
Holly just pointed out how this guy's like, what, 50, 40, 90 or whatever he is.
No, he is. He is. But, you know, I mean, how many times can you get away with playing?
They're going to need him to become Pascal Plus.
No doubt.
To carry this team next year. Now, the East is bad.
The East is bad.
So they can just float around at 5 or 6.
No, that's true. I mean, Orlando will be better.
Maybe Hallie gets back.
Yeah.
Pre-playoffs and they can give you a little something.
Yeah.
A version of his old self and they're competitive again. Again, all eyes will be on Cleveland and on the Knicks. Those are the two teams. The Knicks just need a coach, and it's running back. And then, you know, with Cleveland, it's essentially telling yourself, hey, running back, we weren't healthy. We didn't have a healthy Garland. You know, everybody got hurt at some point in that series.
Right, right.
Including Mobley.
What was your favorite moment of the Oklahoma City run?
Favorite moment?
You're in charge of the DVD, bro. We're putting out a DVD. What are you starting with? Are you going to start with the Grizz series when they came back from down 29 in the first half? This is who we are.
I'm really going to start it with McConnell crying as he walked up to a broken down Halliburton outside the locker room. Hallie was on had come out there on the crutches
to pay
his respects.
Yeah,
and you could tell McConnell must have really convinced himself he was going to do it for him.
He did,
because as he walked up and saw a broken Hallie, who he told him, "We're gonna get this done for you."
Yeah,
and I shouldn't play about this. You could tell it broke him up.
Absolutely,
to not be able to come back with the crown.
There was a, and it wasn't Reggie Miller back there.
He looked like he had a jersey on this time, like he was going to go in the game. He wanted it for Pacers so bad.
Look, this is me and Randolph Childers after a bad after dark. That's how it goes, man.
Rich had on his real jersey, didn't he?
He did. And he was hugging the guy. Like, that was like a, that was a real embrace.
Who is he hugging?
He's TJ
hugging?
McConnell.
Man, McConnell left it all out there, didn't he?
He really did, bro.
But too much McConnell eventually started turning that ball over, didn't
he? You start looking like a lottery team.
That's why he can't be your starter.
No chance.
Pretty soon that pressure just became turnover.
Look, I always talk about this, bro. John Conchar was the GOAT when he played 5 minutes a game. Okay.
He is not Conchar.
We loved him. No, he is better.
Remember, because Damon Stoudemire said a long time ago to me and you on this show, a long time, he said, there's a guard come out of Arizona.
Oh, man.
Man, I can't remember the interview we had with him where he was telling us about Grizz free agents or somebody we should bring in or somebody young. And he was like, TJ McConnell's that dude. I can't remember where Damon was at that time when we had him on. This was years ago.
He had to have been in
his
point.
And we just thought, okay, yeah, I think it was Pacific. We just thought that's what it was, Pacific. And we just thought, okay, well, he's Arizona buddy. Uh-huh. Yes, TJ's hard-nosed, but he's probably not what they – dude, he was calling that one out a long time ago about what kind of, you know, what this guy brings to the table with his level of intensity.
Yeah, no,
And so what it brings to a locker room.
I forgot about that totally.
I can't – but again, that would be taking away from – to answer your question, be taking away from OKC's championship here. But he was – that was sort of the face of everything, how they came up short, yeah. Man, and the sort of what if.
That's right.
You know, because their run was the crazy stuff.
No,
real.
Exactly.
I expected OKC to be here.
This is an interesting, stupid fact, but two of the last three Grizz postseasons that they've been in the playoffs, right, two of the last three times, they have played and lost to the eventual champions. Two out of the last three. 2022, they lost to the Warriors. They went on to win the title. And then this year, obviously, they lost to the Thunder.
They're saying it was a Mullen jersey. Was it a Mullen jersey? Did Reggie had on? Reggie
did. Did he play for the Pacers, bro?
Back before, did he not?
I don't know.
Now I'm confused. Anyway, I shouldn't have taken away from your stats.
What was his number?
17. That
sounds
right.
Yeah, that's Chris
right,
Mullen. That's Chris Mullen jersey.
Thank you. Yeah, this guy. Yeah, it wouldn't have led me.
But it was a jersey. It was a
Pacers
jersey.
Why his own? It's weird. He's wearing.
I think that's even weirder. To be honest, that it was Chris Mullen's jersey. Huh? I'd at least wear yours, but
I wasn't paying close enough attention on that one.
No, I wasn't either. But
maybe that's why they didn't get it done.
If you beat the Grizzlies in the playoffs, right, there is a very high probability that you are going to win the championship. That's what it tells us. That's what the last few years tell. I mean, the Lakers went to the conference finals, didn't they, against Denver that year in 2023? And they lost to the Nuggets, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean... You know, you're just going to if the Grizzlies come up against a team, understand that team is either going to make the conference finals or win the championship, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, Mullen made the finals with them, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
We've been getting these teams ready every year, man.
No. Yep.
Remember, like, didn't the Warriors say something about that?
Then was waived. Didn't they say something about that?
I feel like Draymond Green might have said something about the Grizzlies when they won the championship. That they we went through them. Or maybe I'm making that up. Maybe that was the old iteration. That's what it was. It was the old iteration in 2015-16. But that happened then, too. The Warriors beat the Grizzlies. They went on and won the I'm sick of being, you know what I'm saying, a gimp for the NBA champ. You know, at what point do we say, no more sitting in the cuck chair, we're going to be the champ?
Go trade for Giannis.
I mean, what I got to give up, man? What's the market? What's the market?
All your picks.
If KD only commanded Jalen Green, bad contract, Dylan Brooks, and a number 10 pick, you know, I know Giannis is going to be off the table, but like, okay,
you can't make Milwaukee an offer they can't refuse?
No.
As bad a spot that they're in, that's all I'm saying. Is that,
I think now they're going to say Tyrese is out. We're going to
That's fair.
We're going to double
that's
down
fair,
now.
But I don't know that they have any flexibility if they're not going to trade. All the flexibility is going to come if you trade Giannis. I thought you're pretty up against it if you don't. Mm-hmm. In terms of how much you can change, is you're in there with Dame, in there with.
But that's how they'll sell it with their fans. They won't have flexibility, but they'll say we still have Giannis, and we feel like as long as we have Giannis, we'll compete, especially in this.
And they will weaker, with no Tatum and no Halliburton.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't buy it zooming out. But
Cleveland's going to roll with about a 60-something win season.
They should. They really should, and they
I guess
be in
the Knicks. Will be there in.
If you contention. Believe in the Knicks, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Cleveland's roster looked kind of like OKC's in that they had, like, Jerome coming off the bench, the star in Donovan. If you believe in him as a star, he ain't Shea, but We know he can put up numbers. He can score. He's a front runner, but he can score. You know, they got the bigs with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Like, they have – they're constructed very similarly. The depth is good with Hunter coming off the bench, you know what I'm saying? Him, Jerome, you got guys who can make shots. Okay. So that's what I – you know, Cleveland, you're feeling good. You feel like you're in a great spot to win the East next year. You know, but again, it's going to require Donovan Mitchell, like, you know, being, you know, getting it done, which at this point it has not happened. Anyway, OKC is the champ. They're the champion in 2024-25, the second highest net rated team of all time behind only the 96 Chicago Bulls. And they get their justice. They join the 96 Bulls in their rightful place, immortality.
That's right.
As NBA champions.
All right. The results are in. It's early. According to ESPN, it's way too early, and it always is. But we have power rankings. You want to know where the Grizzlies are in the West?
Not really. To be honest, bro, it's going to depress me.
You sure don't. Ninth.
Play-in.
Now it says, it appears more moves are on the way as the Grizzlies are looking to retool, and makes note of, obviously, the flexibility you now have after trading Desmond Bane. John and I have talked about it. You can go a couple different ways here. Can use that 16 pick if you want to and maybe get something we like. Coward might be something like that. You know, John's educated us on him. There could be others that could be helpful. Or how much more helpful is combining that pick with a team that sees something there as well with a guy like a Cole Anthony or someone else, something else. I don't know if it's even that pick. Maybe it's a different pick that you have, but you know, can you flip it and get veterans right now that can help you? John and I have talked about it last couple of years, and frankly, they've been throwaway years in the end. You have doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on youth, both intentionally and unintentionally. Doesn't it seem like, and yes, we thought this a couple of years ago when you made the move for Marcus Smart, that more vets right now are necessary. I realize you just watched the second youngest team in OKC ever win a finals. With this team, with Jaren Jackson, with Ja Morant and where they currently are, feels like you need veteran help. And here's the way now, having moved on from Bane, having assembled these picks now from Orlando, it just feels like the flexibility is there. KCP looks like a good piece.
Yep.
Sure, maybe Cole Anthony could be useful, but it feels like he could be more useful, as John said, using it and the pick to really go out and address whatever you want to. Backup big, three-man, whatever you want to. That $20 million slot that you can go out and trade for, you can get a lot of useful guys in that $20 million slot. And so I like it a lot, thinking about what that pick could turn into between now and Wednesday, first day of the draft. And remember, Memphis and was making that news a couple of years ago on Marcus Smart just a day before the draft, I believe. I'm hoping Zach Kleiman's on the phones. He's finding out those teams that like you. Maybe they like Coward. Maybe there's other teams out there that like him just as much as John does, just as much as the Grizzlies might, and you use him. We said it, Cole Anthony's on an expiring. Just a lot of things to like about the flexibility there and the fact that you could use it to go get something useful. We said the backup big, and maybe he's a starting big to start the year, might be just as necessary as that three. Now, I'd say I still want a guy up ahead of Jalen Wells that I feel good about. I know you've moved on. Now you're better defensively with KCP and Ja as opposed to Bane and Ja. You are. And so the necessity that your three guy is this lockdown defender, maybe that's not quite as high as it used to be, but I still want that guy if I can go out there and get him. And so my hope is the Kleiman's working the phones, that we're around draft time here. We're going to get some action that's not just including these other teams that seem to, whether they're going all in like Houston seems to be, or just making some moves around the edges. Hopefully the Grizzlies are going to be active because you have this flexibility now. Draft first round is on Wednesday. Grizzlies have three picks, including the two in the second round we haven't talked a lot about. I think last time I heard from Harrington or heard Harrington discussing this, you've got a couple possible open two-way spots that you can put, whether it's those second rounders or, you know, I can't see you using a 16 pick and then giving him a two-way.
Right.
You're not going to do that.
Right.
If you use it, I guess he's going to end up being a standard. But other ways you could go, we've heard it discussed. Maybe you're dropping back. It's certainly something that's not as sexy to get off the Conchar money so that you can do the renegotiate and extend with Jaren Jackson. Sounds like you're going to need that money. Less second, certainly isn't sexy at all. but that would be business in terms of getting it done. I'd like to see that pick used to get a veteran player, again, focusing on guys like P.J. Washington.
Yeah.
It could be a combo forward for you, be used in a couple of different places.
No, totally. But, yeah, like that's what we don't know, right? We don't know who's answering the phones. There has not been any reporting on that.
Not to this point.
We talked about it. Like, the Desmond Bane trade makes a little less sense if you end up using the 16th pick. It just does. It's like, all right, you're clearly saying something, right? You're sending some kind of message. Like, this iteration, you're sending one of two. Either this iteration can't work as it's constructed, or this iteration just can't work. And if this iteration just can't work, you'd be trying to do a lot more than just trade Desmond Bane. You wouldn't be extending Jaren Jackson Jr. on this big contract. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be talking about extending Ja this summer. Like, so to me, it's like, all right, how do you send off Bane and then decide, let's just go ahead and use this 16th pick? That'll make us better. Like, that just seems crazy. You're not going to get a better player than Desmond Bane at 16. And again, they're going to put KCP in that slot. But it's like, is it better than what it was, all told? And the answer would be no.
No.
The answer would be no. So why'd you do it?
Right.
You know, like, you should have just stayed where you were at if it was going to be this, you know, this plan. It seems like I thought maybe they would have an idea that they were going to trade the 16th pick to somebody, but it seems like they do not, at this moment.
At this time.
We shall. No. That can change. But, you know, we don't know. We do not know. We haven't heard from the Grizzlies, you know, so.
No, and it's probably going to stay quiet.
Yeah.
But I suspect something's shaking up. It's like you said, man. Right now, you've stepped back.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to step back, even though, you know, we've said it. You were on a 2-year window to get Jaren signed. You needed to do it before he could possibly leave. Well, now you've got him in. That doesn't mean all of a sudden you can start kicking the can down the road again. It's winning time here, whether that's been on attendance, making sure Ja Morant now going into year 7. You're getting the best version because you have the best roster around him. You can't afford to play anymore and kick the. You didn't take that step back, bro, to stay there.
Agreed.
I would hope so. That's what I'm saying. I don't, you know, the fact that it hadn't happened now, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart was done right before the draft.
Yeah.
Something's got to shake.
They usually are.
Maybe
busy.
It's even done right after. That's what I'm saying. We got time.
Yeah.
And I feel pretty good about something happening. You're not getting all this flexibility not to use it.
Yeah. We didn't talk about this either. Zach Edey. 101 and a 55.
Same day that Shedeur was speeding one. I don't know, something, or it was right around the same time. Don't know. They weren't in the same place, obviously. Wasn't Shedeur speeding too?
Yeah.
Something's wrong with these guys.
Yeah.
No, not something's wrong. You get in a fast car, you're gonna hit it. Come on.
Was Edey in a fast car?
Aren't they all fast?
I feel like I read he was in a very specific vehicle. What was the vehicle?
Kia Sorento.
He was in a Sorento, bro. This man was in a Kia Sorento going 101 and a 55.
Wow.
Why does that? I mean, which I guess maybe a Sorento is a nice vehicle. Maybe I got to get up to, you know, speed. I used to think Kia does have some, like the Telluride.
A midsize SUV?
Yeah. It's not the Kia Sportage, okay? It is the Sorento. But
what was it, a 25?
I do not know if
looks
I
like they got some souped up 25 ones.
Yeah,
there.
You know, Kia has definitely picked it up, and like they used to be
2023.
Like a plastic box.
Kia, and the old Kia.
That was that Purdue NIL money, bro.
Zzz, and run that little engine up.
The Telluride are the ones.
It's already struggling carrying your big tail.
I mean, for real.
That boy said, "We're gonna see what it can do."
Uh huh.
And I thought he was in some kind of big engine car, like most of them do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a big pickup, you know, V8, you know.
Why is that man pushing a Kia?
He's pushing the hell out of it.
No, you schooled me there. I had no idea.
And of course,
didn't look at the car.
People were like, leadership under Jai, as if Jai had something to do with that.
People were like, there's Memphis again. It wasn't even here.
He was in Indiana.
Oh, crime-ridden Memphis. You got to get Edey out of there.
Memphis turned Zach Edey into a criminal.
Yep. Bad element.
That's what happened.
Up in Indiana, fools.
I mean, again, I don't know why he was going so fast. I mean, that just is very dangerous.
Why are you going so fast in a Kia? You understand why young men want to speed.
Yeah. Do that like
you're flexing your muscle underneath your hood.
What's that, the Scat Pack? The Hellcat?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do it in a Hellcat, man. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't do it in a Sorento. They don't make songs about, I was doing 100 in a Rento. You know what I'm saying?
It is strange. Back to these way
the
too early.
In the front seat with my Bimbo 101 and a Rento.
We're lucky. Because it is kind of strange. It was in a Kia that you're speeding. Nothing else involved. You're just getting the speeding. It's just a ticket. We're moving on. That's good. That's good.
I mean, that's reckless driving, right?
That's all I'd say. It could be, depending upon where you're doing speeding.
Reckless.
But hopefully it's... This is going to be something that gets knocked off pretty easy.
Do you not get arrested for reckless driving? I thought that was like a felony.
Maybe that ankle's just still not responding after the surgery. That joker was heavy with that big old foot of his.
Oh, he says he was attempting to pass another vehicle when he accelerated.
I've said that too. But you're going around at 100, bro.
Like, is that when you get pulled over, like, and the cop comes up to you and he says, do you know why I pulled you over? Like, what's your answer for that?
Well, I haven't sped in a long time like that, but in that case, I've done the whole, you're going around somebody and you had to get in fast. But the problem is if the other guy's going 90 and you're passing going 100, both of you guys are getting, you're definitely getting it.
Right.
Going the faster of the two.
But you taught me about the rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't get
both of us.
Right.
But others have told me that's not true. That sometimes the officer has been known to do it, or he can call.
Right.
But the officer can get both. He's not getting me.
I think he's always going to get the person behind.
You're going to get the person in front.
Oh, because he gets them first.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Good point. Good point. Okay.
The rabbit.
Right. 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 The rabbit is the.
You get behind the rabbit. Let the rabbit speed.
The rabbit is
behind the rabbit.
And the idea
just
is
like the dog track. Remember the dog track?
Yeah.
The rabbit.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't condone this, by the way, but we're just saying if you are in that situation.
This is how Brad can get to Nashville in 2.5 hours if he wanted to, but he loves the drive and it's fine. We don't hold it against him. Mm-hmm. He likes to take the 3.5 hours.
It's 3.5 for you?
It's getting longer.
It's 4. It's 4 with inflation.
Right.
You got to find a rabbit, man.
It's the time it takes to get to St. Louis.
Here comes Rusty.
There it is. That's Rust. And again, you let the rabbit in. He's going to, most of the time, pull over the person in front.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I mean, I'd love to get an insight from an officer if there's an officer listening.
Again, I feel like there are some officers that have been able to pull over both. I don't think I still think that's tough to do.
I mean, there's only one of you. I mean, you could call in and say, we got a speeder. But, I mean, come on. In Memphis, we got more stuff to worry about.
They get out in front of the car and they say
that's
stop.
That's only here in unincorporated Cordova.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Stop. But they do get you. They are effective at it.
Didn't you get pulled over by a dude on a motorcycle?
Yes, but he let me go.
Okay, that's the one that let you go.
Mm-hmm.
The guy on foot did not.
Yeah, well, I had the wife in there, was taking her to work. Yeah, on the one that they got letting go.
Have you ever been pulled over on horseback?
No.
Okay, that's the only one we haven't done yet. We got the bike.
No.
Now, if that happens.
But a brother, I mean, if a brother's going, you know, a brother go through Germantown on a horse, you're going to get pulled over. Let me tell you that. Whatever vehicle a brother is on, going to get pulled over at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if there was
going to experience it.
Germantown horse show that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still going
to. And I've been out there.
Where you coming from?
But I stayed on that park. I stayed
in
there.
I'm coming from the horse show.
Right.
I'm on a horse.
You better believe he'd have ass pulled me over. So what you doing out here?
You got your papers on that horse?
Thought I stole it, didn't you?
Yep. But no, in all seriousness, don't go 101 miles an hour. I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Maybe the Grizzlies have been a little higher in the power rankings if Edie hadn't got that speeding charge above the Dallas Mavericks here at 14 instead of at 15.
That's right.
Just trying to bottom line
if it
ended today without making any moves with all this flexibility, ESPN have you about ninth in the West, 15 overall in the power rankings. Not so good, but. You didn't take this step back to not take a step forward.
At least try
we're
to
hopeful.
Take a step forward, right? Yes. At least try.
Yeah.
By the way, while we're bottom line in NBA, it is a torn Achilles for Tyrese Halliburton.
There it is.
That was official from Shams. I don't think there was much doubt about that after we saw it go down and his reaction. But I think it did rob us of a classic game. I mean, OKC early in that game, even in the second quarter, looked like they were kind of scared of their own shadow. So, you know, only until half where they got a chance to catch their breath and say, oh, look, the head of the snake is gone. You're like, whatever you think about the player, like he does, he's their engine. And that engine is gone. It's like when I hit that damn part on 385, it took out a lot of my car, man. I'm still working on that, by the way. Probably totaled.
Never gonna know what you hit.
Never gonna know. I mean, I have theories, but I, you know, only saw it out of the, by the time I really saw it, it was like flying through the my rear view, you know. So I'll never know, but it's gonna be costly. Tyrese Halliburton is gonna, you know, we'll see how long he missed. He played through that calf strain, you know, tried to win it all, and went down with 4:55 left, you know, in the first quarter, and you know, we'll see how long the recovery is. I mean, what minimum you're talking about? Probably 8-10 months.
Probably minimum. He'll be on the short side because he's young. But still, I'm right. Amazed too how we've become doctors in this day and age. We've become so accustomed to these. We can see the pop. Yep. We can slow it down enough on the film, and yep. We've seen enough of them now that you're looking for the pop, and you could see the pop on Halliburton. And we wanted to be wrong. Nobody was hoping to be right on an ACL. Halliburton, you know, he's gone. You know, he's in pain. You could see him almost, I think, mouthing the words, I did it, like in terror, saying it was the Achilles, essentially, mm-hmm. To the folks that came up and tried to help him. And so I was hoping we were all wrong, but that these things have become so common now, and you can see the pop. It's like we can diagnose them while we're watching them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But obviously, news now, as John said, they're making it official that, you know, torn Achilles. I hate it for him.
Yeah,
he's already playing on that calf, and it can, you know, it can lead to that next injury up. And unfortunately, it did here. Can't blame the kid for wanting to go. I can't blame Indiana for letting him go. But in this case, the worst fears are realized very early on, and in doing so, it's crazy. I was talking about, man, what if they had gone on to win that? You never see anything like that where your main guy goes down in a game 7. You still have a chance to win that game, and in doing so, you can still win the trophy. You can still win it all in doing that after losing your guy, but after halftime. An unbelievable tip your cap effort to Indiana in that first half to have the lead at halftime. There was just the third. It was bound to happen. Whether it's the Daigneault speech, OKC realizing they were about to blow it.
Yep.
They got absolutely rolled in that third quarter. You got to give OKC the credit, especially defensively, turning them over the way they did.
Yep. The most important Memphian of all time died over the weekend. Fred Smith, founder of FedEx, died at the age of 80. FedEx, in a note to employees, wrote that Fred was more than just the pioneer of an industry and the founder of our great company. He was the heart and soul of FedEx, its culture, values, integrity, and spirit. He was a mentor to many and a source of inspiration to all. He was a proud father, grandfather, husband, Marine, and friend. Please keep the entire Smith family in your thoughts and prayers during this difficult time. FedEx Incorporated in 1971, began operations in 1973. I mean, it's just become synonymous with freight, right? I mean, it's how things appear. You know, you get something, you FedEx it. It's just become a verb in many ways. We know how important FedEx has been to the city of Memphis. I mean, it's the building that the Grizzlies and the Tigers play in. It's, I mean, I would imagine the largest employer right in Memphis by a long shot, you know, and throughout, you know, the United States. And, you know, from the sports standpoint, you know, you think about it. We talked about the building, the gift of the $50 million to the University of Memphis for renovations, $25 million pledge to the NIL fund a couple of years ago, the FedEx St. Jude Championship PGA Tour at Southwind. You know, you just sort of look around. If it's important in Memphis, it's probably got FedEx on it, and it's probably running through FedEx. And so I did see the speculation that the airport will be named after Fred Smith, which, you know, we've talked about that, right? I feel like we've had summer conversations on this show about what we name the airport, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Fred Smith International Airport is about as good as you're going to do, especially like FedEx. I mean, it's just natural, like FedEx planes, transit, you know what I mean? So
yep.
I think that's kind of the next step, but, you know, optically, I think it comes at a tough time for the city of Memphis, you know, to lose a, you know, an institution like Fred Smith in this time is, you know, it's very difficult. He's 80. People die. It's part of the thing, right? You know, we live, we die, we try to make an impact and leave a legacy. He certainly did that. But I'm hopeful that, you know, the next phase of FedEx and, you know, for the Smith family is still rooted in Memphis. Because we need that influence, that positive influence here you know, and that commerce. There's no question about that. And that's what Fred brought. So, and he was very generous back to Memphis. That's the thing. It's like, he didn't just use Memphis, right? He gave back to it every chance he could, really. You know, he tried to get us in the Big 12. Remember, it was the naming rights for the championship game. Tried that. So he's been a champion of Memphis, and, you know, beyond that, his legacy will certainly be felt for generations and generations to come. But Fred Smith gone at 80. We will come back. Got some news on the NIL front for Memphis basketball. Not a ton, but a little morsel, I would say, Jason. So we'll get into that, what it means for Memphis basketball, football, and more. Stick around, Jason and John.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Howdy, Trina FM, ESPN.
You make that story over at Leaders a little more fun. You power that summer vacation with the Compass Black credit card through Leaders Credit Union. Earn 3% cash back on every purchase and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. No categories, no limits. Set up direct deposit, enjoy no annual fees. It's time your credit card worked as hard as you do. You can see full details and disclosures over at leaderscu.com/ESPN. Check it all out. Again, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Whether it's that Compass Black credit card or a HELOC with rates as low as 5.99 APR, those home equity lines of credit, Leaders can do that for you too, help you get that kitchen remodel, that bathroom upgrade. Can do it all through Leaders. They want to be there with you every step of the way on a healthy, fun, outstanding financial journey that benefits you. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA and is your financial champion.
We're back, Jason and John, on Eternity FM, ESPN. We heard from Ed Scott. Memphis Athletic Director Ed Scott spoke for the first time in a while over the weekend, heading into the weekend, about a couple of things, right? About rev share, about stadium, conference realignment. By the way, on that front, Pac-12's media partner, we finally got a little bit of it today, CBS, which is a continuation of some of it. Some games are going to be on CBS Network, so CBS Sports Network. Some games are going to be on Paramount Plus. I believe the championship game is going to be on CBS for football, and then title game for basketball will be on CBS as well. So there you go. I don't think it's the full thing. It's only like three games, like you know, whatever. I don't care about it until Memphis is relevant in it. But I did see, hey, they at least had something. Don't know the details. Don't know the deals. Right. That sounds like Texas State is going to be their, what is it? They're looking for their eighth member, ninth member, whichever one. But it sounds like Texas State is going to be, which is like, what is the fascination with Texas State? Like, what on earth are they bringing to the table? Kind of does make me feel like, maybe you should have stayed away from that. If we're talking about Texas damn State, bro, like, nobody else wants to do this. We're falling all the way down there. Like, yeah. Weren't they like D2 or, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? So anyway, that's the latest there. But Ed Scott did talk about basketball specifically and where sort of Memphis is going to stand in the rev share piece of it. And basically what he said was that revenue sharing for the athletic department is in a really good place. We're not going to be at full rev share. We won't be at $20.5 million, which is the cap right now. But he says we're in a really good place, a place better than I thought we'd be in. The only reason I'm not giving out the number is because it's proprietary. Once I give out that number, people are going to benchmark against us, and I don't need them doing that. That's not what I'm about. I'm worried about what we do, and I know that we're going to compete well in that space. What do you take from that? Obviously, it is not 20.5, but it sounds like it might be more than half than he originally. It might be like 12.
Yeah, but again, how much, you know, whether it's a 12, whether it's a 10, which he had said a month ago, or what, I can't remember if it was in that podcast interview he'd done, yeah, or if it was back here, but he'd said about halfway through, you're about the same, and it puts you in the same, he calls it group of six, we call it still group of five, put you still at the top of that group. I did like to hear when he said a little bit more than he thought. However, with where we're about to go,
and sort of the way he described our situation as similar to one another, I started to wonder, okay, how much of this is, you know, a mirage, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. What's real is, you know, Memphis will be able to compete as the top dog outside the power structure. However, when you start to compare your situation to that of a Kansas, I'm not sure how similar it really truly is. But I know that was something you're going to get to.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's going to be important.
Yeah.
So are you dressing it up maybe a little bit better than it is there?
Right.
So when you tell me that some things are a little bit better than maybe you thought, okay, well, how much better are they? Sounds like you're going to be operating the middle point somewhere, you know, 10 million, 12 million.
Exactly.
You're not going to be at 20 and a half, which we knew for a while.
And he did not talk about the distributions, right? He did not specifically say, all right, we're going to give 65% to football. He didn't get into those. He didn't get into, which I would have liked to have known, like just to get a sense of the direction there. Although, again, we can just assume, like, if everybody's doing 75, 15, 5, whatever, however you come out to that math, you know, maybe Memphis does a 70-20 split with football and basketball. Like, you know, football is going to have to get the lion's share of it because that's the way this thing is. But he did reference that article, like you talked about, with Kansas, who was getting $4.5 to $5.5 million of rev share money. And Ed Scott said, if that number is right, we're very competitive with Kansas in men's basketball. So for all those who think we're not competing in men's basketball, I'm here to set that record straight. And we have more money in football than we have in basketball. See, we knew that. We knew that piece of it. That was kind of the problem, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really a problem, but it's like, it's this sort of new era that we're in where football gets more than basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's new. That's new around here. So we're adjusting to that. But I don't think it was a situation where people didn't think that Memphis would compete in Memphis basketball with $4.5 to $5.5 million. It's that, and this is where it gets to be a little more complicated, Kansas is not just going to live off of that $4.5 to $5.5 rep share.
Right.
They're going to have NIL. Like, that's going to continue to come for them. And Ed Scott goes on to kind of basically say, we're dissolving the collectives.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to dissolve the collectives, and we're going to do an in-house NIL collective, and everything's going to go through Memphis. Now, how aggressive will they be? Because Bluff City Collective was great and has been great about getting money to players, raising money for – and I'm talking about basketball. This is basketball only because Bluff City is only basketball. 901 Fund is for everything. But Bluff City Collective specifically is for basketball.
Right.
And you know, what I can tell you is I've got to know those guys pretty well. Like, they're champions for basketball. Like, that is the only thing they care about. You know, it's not that they don't want Memphis football to be successful, but it's like, we're going to make sure that Memphis basketball has the resources it needs to do what everybody in Memphis wants, which is to win the AAC, which is to go to all deep runs, the tournament, which is to get big-time players. And so when you strip away that dedicated laser focus on that one sport, Jason, it kind of feels inevitable that the priorities will shift, and that's what I worry about.
Yeah. And, I mean, and that's the thing about it. You can tell yourself that it's the same as Kansas, but when that's coming out of their revenue share and they're doing NIL deals from their collectives or whatever else, your collective is no longer there. Yours just comes off the rev share. It's not the same deal. Their expectations, national championship, whatever else, your expectations, they've got more to fuel, you know, to reach those. They've got more to invest in reaching those. We've said it. The price for you, it's gone up to keep these same national, you know, nationally relevant expectations, these Sweet 16 expectations. And even for Kansas, let's be real, that's kind of dropped off the last couple of years here.
Yeah.
There's going to be, I mean, even for that, you know, I don't know if that $4.5 million with their collectives, which better be picking it up, if Kansas is going to start getting back to where Bill Self typically has it, they're going to have to do a little bit better because everybody else going to have what they're saying Kansas has got. I mean, even the ones that are, you know, aren't even maybe dead set on winning a national championship. My point is that it's not same because you're drying up your pools that were focused mainly on basketball. I mean, that deal that you've got from Fred Smith over the next 4 years, that $20 million that you've got still coming to you, another majority of that goes to football.
Yeah.
And Memphis is wanting to, again, funnel everything through the school as part of rev sharing. Yeah, eventually. And, I mean, he told you, we got more for football than we do for basketball. Football's the stadium they own now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing about it. And while it's been, you know, basketball's been the face, you talk about where the ceiling might be higher.
It could potentially be higher for them in football, though he admits he doesn't expect to have money coming out of his ears because they got control of Simmons Bank now. In fact, he expects to lose early as they try to figure out a formula
yep.
that's going to get them to a place in the, you know, that's positive for them over there in terms of the revenue streams
yeah.
that are going to be created by them now having transferred ownership over.
Yes. Yes. He said he's hopeful that the new legislation will stabilize things, you know, on that piece of it. You know, he talked about, you know, the owning the stadium, and he talked about the tunnel. He loved the tunnel that will make those concerts possible yep. because you get those big trucks in. So it was a good update. It was a good update, you know, in terms of what's going on with Memphis sports, Memphis athletics, you know, the rev share. I know they were sort of waiting on that to get done and that settlement to get done before coming back out. So it seems like we're not going to get a number from Ed Scott, but, you know, a percentage would be nice to know. Like, can Memphis basketball, because, again, you got this, you got that $5 million a year from FedEx, which I at the time was told 60 to 70% of that is going to football as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's not changing.
Yeah. So is that factored into the $4.5 to $5.5 million range for Memphis basketball moving forward? Does it not? I mean, that's I assume it is, but I don't know. It was a good update there from Ed Scott, who I gather said as much as he could. You know, there's some things, like you said, he wanted to keep, you know, behind closed doors, but as transparent as possibly can be. And then, you know, I think, did he mention anything else about the Pac-12? I think he
said that the same deal where there yeah. is no new deal
right.
To this point.
Right. It's kind of the same thing he's been saying mm-hmm. since last year. So mm-hmm. no news there. Right. We shall see. But Ed Scott gave a State of the Union address for Memphis Athletics, and that's basically what it was. All right, we'll come back. Got Respect Burgers, and then Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 1:25. Talk to him about all of this, Fred Smith, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.5 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.